Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Irvin Daf Samach Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 11 lines from the top of Daf Samachei. You will notice a triangle, and on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei Mivne heading, we have indicated Rav Chanina and Rav Yochanan. Those are the two opinions you see in triangles. Shnei Gishois, two approaches, Litaer Schoroi, to describe the reward, Shel Mi She'eno Mispala B'Shichus, one who does not daven, one who restrains himself from davening while intoxicated. A double underline will appear to highlight the expressions Lishni de Avuri and Lishna de Geluye. But these points will become clear as we continue in the Gemara. Omar Rebbe Chanina, Kol Hamapik Mogain Bishas Gaiva Soigrin Vechoismin Soros Ba'ado. This is a very obscure line unless we offer some explanation. Kol Hamapik means anyone who is ma'avir, who goes over, skips over davening. Mogain is a reference to Mogain Avram, the end of the first brocha of the Shemona Esrei. So anyone who skips and does not daven, Bishas Gaiva means when he is intoxicated. Literally, gaiva means haughty, but in this context, it means when he is intoxicated. Soigrin v'chismin soros badol means that trials and tribulations will be withheld from coming upon him. So, in very simple terms, one who doesn't daven, one who avoids davening when he is intoxicated, so he is spared troubles. But the focus on these words called hamapik will be important as we go on, citing a pasuk and then trying to understand the words. So the Gemara continues, Shinamar, as it says in the following pasuk, Gaiva afike moginim sogur choysom tzor. So in looking at this pasuk, we see the term afike moginim. My mashma dahai afik lishno da'avurihu. How do you know that the word afik has to do with skipping over something? Dichtiv achai bogdu kamo nachal ke'apik necholim ya'avuru. So in this pasuk you see the word apik and the word ya'avuru. It's something that passes over something. So that for our purposes, one who passes over the chance to daven when he is intoxicated, so is spared from troubles. Rabbi Yochanan Omar kol she'eno mapik itmar. Now, he has a different take on the words, and Rabbi Yochanan explains, anyone who does not reveal or expose davening when intoxicated is spared the troubles. So he sees the word apik having to do with revealing something, revealing his prayer. So anyone who does not reveal his prayer is subject to the reward mentioned. The Gemara asks, My mashma dahai mapik lishna de galuyehu. From where do we know that the word apik has to do with revealing something? Dichtiv vayeroo afike mayim vayigalu moizdois tevel. So in this pasuk you see the word afike in the context of vayigalu. Mifti, the Gemara says, let's look into this. Kroi mashma bein lamor ubein lamor. When you look at the pasuk of Gaivo afike moginim sogu choysim tzor, the word afike could go like this way and it could go like that way. My binayu, what would be a practical difference between explaining it as one who passes over the chance to daven versus one who does not reveal the prayer when intoxicated. So the Gemara answers, Iko binayu de Rav Sheshes. The point of difference will be based on Rav Sheshes, which will become explained immediately. The Rav Sheshes, Mosar Shinsei Lishame. Rav Sheshes literally means he entrusted his sleep to his shamish, to his servant. And Rashi points out, Mosar Shinsei Lishame, Omar Loi, Rav Sheshes would tell his shamish, his servant, Hanicheni Lishan Ma'at, let me sleep a bit, Ukshiagi Azman, Filo Hakitseni, and when the time for davening comes, wake me up. Rav Chanino de Omar Avuri Boi, according to Rav Chanino, who said that one who is intoxicated requires to la avor, to pass over the chance to daven. So less lay to Rav Sheshes. He doesn't hold from the practice of Rav Sheshes, but also is pal achir meolov. It's also for him to daven until he wakes up on his own. Now, from the context of this Gemara, it would seem that Rav Sheshes is, we're describing Rav Sheshes in the context of someone who he had been intoxicated and wanted to sleep a little bit, and the issue of the time for davening was about to pass. Should something take place? In other words, should he be awakened or wait till he awakens on his own? So the Gemara says that's the point of difference and we continue now in the Gemara. We said Rav Sheshes Mosar Shinsei Lishami entrusted his sleep to his servant. Mor Islei de Rav Sheshes. Rav Yochanan will subscribe to the approach of Rav Sheshes. And Umor Rabbi Chanina less lay the Rav Sheshes. Rav Chanina says that the person who is intoxicated needs to pass over the davening, and therefore he shouldn't daven until he wakes up on his own. Omar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Omar Rav Kol She'ein Daito Miyusheves Olav. Anyone who is bothered, he is not of calm mind, so Al Yispali, he should not daven. He shouldn't pray. Mishum Shinemar Batsar Al Yore. Based on this posuk, which the Meforshim point out, Rashi says it's not a real posuk from the Tanakh, but it's could very well be from Sefer Ben Sira. So the posuk says that when one is troubled, al yore, and we're taking the al yore expression in this context to mean not to daven. We now have a series of diamonds, and on the side of the Gemara, we see under our nosei mivne heading sidro shel gorme tirdo rabbonim. There's a series of things that could cause being troubled or upset. Different cases. Bekeshul tefila v'limud Torah. The different examples will be in the context of davening and learning Torah. The Gemara says, Rabbi Chanina b'yomei d'rosach lo matzli, on a day that he experienced rage, he would not daven. Omar, the posuk says, batzar al yoreh ksiv. Claim based on this posuk that when one is in one is troubled. In this case, wrathful, so do not daven. Marukfa biyom deshusa lo haven nofik lebeidina. Marukfa on a day that the yom deshusa is the day Rashi says the southerly wind blew. He would not officiate in a court of law. He wouldn't rule. He wouldn't judge in a court of law. Omar Rav Nachman Yitzchok hilchasa bayo tzilusa. Hilchasa means the study of Torah needs clearness of thought. Silusa is clarity of thought, on like the day that the north wind blows. When the north wind blows, so it creates a situation of, Rashi says, Yoim Oirohu, it's a day of light. Omar Abaye, I Omroli Aim Koriv Kusho Lo Tanoi. Abaye tells about himself that even the slightest request for doing some minor action would upset him to the extent that he would not be able to continue learning as he was prior to the interruption. And in translating the Gemara, Yomer li Aim. Aim is the woman who raised Abaye. Abaye's mother died upon his birth, so his foster mother is referred to in the Gemara very often as Aim. So Rabbi says that if my Aim would request of me, Koriv Kusach, literally, bring me the Kusach, which is a type of milchiga dish, a dairy dish, but she would request of me, bring to me the Kusach, which is a very minor type request, lo tanoi, I would not be able to continue learning after that as I was before. Omar Rava, I kart siton kino lo tanoi. If I would be bitten by a lice, I would not be able to continue learning as I was before. So that something as insignificant, as minor as a lice prick would upset Rava to the extent that he wouldn't be able to continue learning with the same quality of learning as prior to that. Now, in mentioning the kino, the lice, more braid Ravino ofdo le ime zayin moni le zayin yomi. The Ravino Chananel ties this case of more braid Ravino to what Rava just said, so that in order to avoid the lice, he had a change of clothing every day, a different change of clothing, so as to ensure cleanliness and no lice, because the lice would, if biting someone, could interrupt their concentration and upset them to the extent that they wouldn't be able to continue learning the same way as prior to that. You'll notice we have a bracketed section, and on the side the note indicates, the starred note, the section of Gemara here is isolated because it deals with the time and hours that are best fit for the study of Torah. And after this bracketed section, we go back to the issue of a person who is bothered by something, and hence it has an effect on his ability to daven. So that having been said, and you can see the diamonds help everything stand out very clearly, let's go through the bracketed section. Omar Rav Yehuda, Lo Ivri Leilo Elo Lashinsa. He says the nighttime was created for sleeping. In other words, he is basically advocating the learn Torah during the day and at night sleep. There are other approaches though. Omar Rav Shimon ben Lokish, Lo Ivri Siara Elo Lagirsa. He, Rav Shimon ben Lakish, seems to take a different approach. He says the moonlight, was created for the study of Torah. Amri le Rebbe Zera. They told Rebbe Zera, Mechadet in Shmaitzach, your Torah learning is very sharp. Omar Lahu, Rav Shesha says, Diamomi Ninu. This is my learning that I do during the day. And this would seem to reflect, at first glance, that which Rabbi Yehuda said, that the nighttime is for sleeping and the daytime is for learning. Omro Le Barte de Rav Chista de Rav Chista. The daughter of Rav Chista said to her father, Lo boy mor menam porto. Shouldn't you rest a little bit? Meinam is to sleep a little bit. Apparently, Rav Chista was studying Torah many, many hours during the day. You might want to say around the clock, that any opportunity he had to learn Torah, he would take advantage of that. And his daughter was concerned. Maybe you should rest a little bit. Omar Lo. So Rav Chista said, Hashta osu yoimi da'arichi uktini v'neinum tuva. He says, behold, there are days that are coming that are very long. Those are days, he's describing a person dead and in the grave. The days in the grave are long days designed for sleeping. And ktini, and small, meaning little opportunity to study Torah, obviously, when one is dead, one is not able to study Torah nor perform mitzvahs. And at that time, neinum tuva, I will sleep a long time. Omer Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, Anan poali diamomi anon. Rav Nachman says, we are daytime workers. meaning that we study Torah during the day. Ravacha bar Yankiv, Yosef upora. Rashi says, Yosef upora, hoyo kovelo lishnois kach v'kach prokim b'yoyim. He was accustomed to establishing, to setting a certain number of chapters to learn every day. And he was accustomed to learning by day. There were occasions that he was preoccupied with his parnosa, with his income during the day. And he would make up the amount that he set to learn. He would make up that amount at night. What's very revealing here is the approach to Torah study in a quantified fashion. In other words, learning a certain amount every day. And Rashi describes a certain amount of prokim every day. There are people that learn, like we are learning in the context of Daf Yomi, one daf a day. Whatever the case is, there's a concept here, or an educational approach, where there is an issue of quantity. Of course, quality of learning is a non-negotiable factor. However, in that context of learning with quality, there is the need to, as we say, cover ground, to see all of the Torah. And that is what Rashi appears to reflect, that he had a fixed number of chapters to learn every day. We want to look also at the Rabbeinu Hananel on the third wide line under the Gemara text. In the middle, Rav Acho have yoshem b'yoyim v'yonir b'laylo v'goris. Rabbeinu Hananel says that Rav Acho's practice was in fact to sleep by day, and he was up at night for learning. And this would reflect what Rav Shimon ben Lokish mentioned earlier, that the moon was created for Girsa. We continue in the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Elazar, Habo min haderech. Here we have another example of something that can disturb an individual from davening. One who comes from a trip, ayispal shloshi yomim. Don't daven for 3 days. In other words, after a trip, a person doesn't collect himself until 3 days' time. Shinemar, the pasuk says, va'kaptim elanor bo'el achvo v'nach nesham yomim shloshi avino ba'om v'chulei. This pasuk is in the context of Ezra and the return of the Jews to Israel from Bavel, and it describes therefore a journey, and they encamped, it says here, for 3 days, and then he was able to take an accounting of what was going on. And for our purposes, we extract from this pasuk the idea that only after 3 days pass, then va'avino, then I can concentrate, I can have understanding and knowledge, and in our context, once again, to be able to daven. Avuah de Shmuel, ki osi b'urcha lo matzli tlosa yomi. Avuah de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, when he came from a trip, he would not daven until 3 days' time. Shmuel lo matzli b'beis adis b'shichro. Shmuel would not daven in a house that had in it beer. The beer aroma would intoxicate him, Rashi says. Rav Papa lo matzli b'beisa de'is be'harsana. Harsana is a type of dish. It's a fried fish preparation, and it created an aroma. So Rav Papa would not daven in a house that had in it harsana because of the smell. Here we have a new marking, this house marking, and it highlights the opinions of Rav Hanino and Rabbi Chia that describe people and the effect that wine may or may not have on them. So, Omer Rabbi Hanino, kol hamispate b'yenoi yesh boi midas kono. The word mispate, Rashi says, shemefaisin Oisoi al dover umisratze kishetov libo bayayin. That someone who, after drinking, is then sought out for a good turn, for a favor, and he responds in kind after having drunk wine. So he has in him the approach, the literally the mind of his creator. That's Das Kono. So our job now is to see what's the connection between this idea of someone responding kindly after having drunk wine with the Almighty. Shenamar, the Pasuk says, Vayorach Hashem es reach hanichoyach v'chulei. Rashi says, Reach hanichoyach v'amoron li'el, derecho dumyo demishtia hu. That the smell is something that's similar to drinking. And we saw before, in Rashi, he said, in Dibur Masa, this beishichor reach ashechor mishachrosoi. The smell could intoxicate. So in this pasuk, we see smell, and smell is associated with drinking. Uksiv, and the pasuk says vayomer elibo lo osiv v'chulei diirtzi. And this pasuk, the pasuk is describing how the Kodesh Baruch Hu responded in good favor after having received the smell of the sacrifice that was offered. So we're making a parallel between the smell of the sacrifice and God's response in good favor to someone who drinks wine, and after that responds in good favor to a request. Amar Rav Chiya, kol ha-mesyashev b'yeno yesh bo das shivim zekenim. That means someone who after drinking doesn't lose it. He's able to control himself. He has in him the wisdom of the 70 sages. 70 sages is a reference to the Sanhedrin that numbered 70 judges. So now, once again, we have to see what's the connection between someone who is able to control himself even after drinking wine and this idea of the wisdom of 70 sages. So the Gemara explains, Yayin nitan b'shivim oisyos. That means that the numerical value of wine is 70. Yud is 10, so it's, you have 10, and 10 is 20, and the nun is 50, giving you a total of 70. V'soid nitan b'ayin osios, the gematria, the numerical equivalent of the word sod, is also 70, because the samach is 60, vav is 6, and dalet is 4, a total of 70. And we say, Nichnas Yayin Yotza Sod. In general, after one drinks, a sod means secret, things that one ordinarily would keep concealed. So, the association made between Yayin and Sod is that in general, one who drinks wine then releases his secrets. And here we add the main point. And this person who's able to drink wine and still maintain control, he is like the 70, again the numerical issue comes up, the 70 of the Sanhedrin. He is like one possessing the wisdom of the 70 members of the highest court. Omer of Chonin, lo nivro yayin elu lenachim aveilim ulishalim schar lurishoyim. Wine was created primarily for the purpose of consoling people in distress, mourners, avelim or mourners, and to pay reward to the wicked. Now, with regard to paying reward to the wicked, Rashi says, the wicked drink wine, become drunk, enjoy themselves, and that enjoyment is payment for whatever little good they may have done, and their payment is in this world. The pasuk that is the basis for this statement of Rav Chanan is Shenemar Tnu Shechor Loive V'Yayin L'More Nefesh. Give the shechor, is that which is intoxicating, to the oved, to the lost one. That's the wicked ones, and yayin, the wine, to the more nefesh, to those of bitter spirit, like the mourner. Amar Rav Chanan Bar Popa. So Rav Chanan describes what is true or real wealth. The term bracha means the beneficiary of a blessing. So what does he say? Anyone in whose home wine doesn't flow forth like water, meaning in great abundance, so he hasn't really achieved true wealth. So Rav Chanan is describing what's considered true wealth. Someone who could open his his faucet and wine would flow forth from it. So that anyone who doesn't have that quantity of wine, he hasn't really achieved true wealth. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Uveirach es lachmecho ve'es meimecho. There's a juxtaposition here of lechem, of bread, with water. Ma lechem shenigach behasav meiser, just like bread is something that one can purchase with meiser sheni money. This is money that one used to redeem his meiser sheni tithe. This is a tithe that one separates from his fruits the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the 7-year sabbatical cycle. And the money that one may have set aside as a result of redeeming the fruits instead of bringing the fruits to Yerushalayim, which is what is optimally expected, instead of that, he has the option of redeeming the fruits onto cash, onto coins. The coins he would then bring to Yerushalayim and buy things. Two items he's not allowed to buy include water and salt, whereas they're classified as non-food items. In this pasuk, there's a reference to bread and water. And we say, just like bread is something you can buy with kesef meiser, af mayim shenikach bekesef meiser, so too the water referred to here is water that you could buy with kesef meiser. But we just got finished saying you can't buy water with kesef meiser. So what does the term mayim refer to? Umay new, what is that water in the pasuk? The water that's compared to bread, yayin, it's wine. And wine is something that you are allowed to buy with kesef meiser sheni. The kokori le mayim, and this very pasuk calls wine water. The Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis. E nishbach beveso kemayim ika brocha. If the wine flows in your house like water in other people's houses, then you have achieved brocha. You have achieved blessing, the blessing of wealth. The E loy lo, and if you haven't achieved, you might have a number of bottles of fine wine, but it doesn't flow like water, so then you haven't achieved what the pasuk describes of uveirach es lachmocha, and your holdings are blessed. Omer Rabbi Loi, b'shloish shedvarim odom nikar. In three different cases, a person can be recognized if he is an odom hogun, a proper individual. B'koisoi, ubekiso, ubekaso. How he conducts himself after drinking. If he maintains equanimity after having drunk wine. Bekiso is how he deals with people in commercial matters. Rashi says, k'shenoisin v'noisin v'nei odom im be'emuno lose. This is the person who deals faithfully with individuals in his business practices. Ubekaso is, Rashi says, she'eno kapton yoisir midai, that even when he becomes angry, he doesn't lose it. He maintains a certain cap on his wrath. V'amri lei, another opinion on this, another idea, is af b'sochako, even the way to, we can judge a person by the way he conducts himself when he is in a state of laughter, gaiety. There's a Rabbeinu Chananel that explains this on the third line of the Rabbeinu Chananel. He says, Omer Rabbi Loi, b'shloi shedvarim odom nikr, b'koiso, b'shal shim izgabar lo avyenu, im yochol likovsho. After he's drunk a considerable amount of wine, is he able to overcome the effects of the wine? B'kiso, k'shemis asher, when he becomes wealthy, im daito zacholov, does he become haughty or not? B'kaso, im moshe b'kaso, levilti hasito, if he has control over his anger, so as not to enable, not to cause him to go off the path, to, as we said before, to lose it. At this point in the Gemara, you notice a closing of an angular brackets. The double star indicates that these sograyim, these brackets, are midaf samach dalet omen aleph, esheshuas mirosh amud. Samach Dalet Aleph, 10 lines from the beginning of the page, is where this bracketed section begun, and we mentioned then, and we'll mention now, that the bracketed section contained that which is off the topic, namely, we focused on Shichrus. On at this point, then we go back to issues that are Eruvin related. On the side of the Gemara, we have under our Nosei Mivne heading, we have the house shape featured here, and a numbering that accompanies them. You have one here in the middle of the Omid, another one is, you find number two. These are Shnei Dugmos, Shel Shnei Chatzero Zu Lifni Mizu, Yisrael V'Nochri Be'echod Mehem V'Yisrael Basheni. These are two examples. And in the Pirush Chai on page 137, diagram 5 will be of benefit. Even though it's fairly simple just by looking at the words of the Gemara, we're going to be dealing with two courtyards. One is located further in, set off from the road, than the other. So you have an inner courtyard and an outer courtyard, as you can see on page 137, diagram number 5. Now, in the number 5 and number 6 are two diagrams that will be accompany our house markings as we go along in the Gemara. So number 5 features a case of a Jew and an idol worshipper in an inner courtyard, and a Jew in an outer courtyard. When you have an inner courtyard, outer courtyard set up, there's a concept known as Drisas HaRegel that's important to be familiar with. Drisas HaRegel in English could be referred to as easement. That's the right to walk through another piece of property. And there's an understanding that people that have that are set off further in off the road can walk through an outer property to get to the Rishus HaRabim. That's by way of introduction. So now let's turn to the Gemara. Just reminding everyone of the fact that the presence of a Nochri in the context of Jews can create an Eruvin problem, the right to it could cancel or actually prevent the establishment of an Eruv, and then one has to take measures to solve the otherwise restrictions of Shabbos. These are topics that we've discussed extensively in our previous Dapim, since we had this long break from the topic of Goy and Yisrael, or Nochri and Yisrael, so we said what we just did. The Gemara, Omar of Yehuda Omar Rav, Yisrael v'Nochri b'fnimis v'Yisrael b'chitzon. You have a Jew and a Gentile in an inner courtyard, and a Jew living in an outer courtyard, as you saw in diagram 5. And Rashi adds, like we mentioned, that the inner courtyard people have drisus haregel, they have easement rights through the outer courtyard. This case came to the awareness of Rebbe, and he prohibited the outer courtyard inhabitant from carrying in and out of his house to his courtyard until he would rent, he would do a schirus, rent the rights of the Gentile. Yosef, Rabbo of Rav Yosef, Bishili Pirkei de Rav Sheshes. Rabbo and Rav Yosef were seated after the drosha, after Rav Sheshes finished his lecture. The Yosef Rav Sheshes v'komar. Rav Sheshes was seated and saying, Keman Omra Rav l'shmaitse. Based on whom did Rav say over his teaching? And we had above, with the Rav is in the house marking, the house shape, and Rav was telling us that, quoting the Rebbe and Rebbe Chia, that they would forbid the outer courtyard resident from using his courtyard, from carrying in and out of his house to the courtyard, because of the easement rights the goy from the inner courtyard had. So based on whom is this teaching? So the Gemara answers, as Rav Sheshes raised the question, so the Gemara answers, Kerebi Meir. This would be in accordance with Rebbe Meir. Now, Rebbe Meir is of the opinion, and we had this, of course, at the beginning of the Perek, that even in a case of one Jew and one Goy, you don't need to have two Jews with the Goy before you see a problem. Even one Goy and one Jew sharing the same chotzer imposes a restriction on the Jew. So that in this case, in the inner chotzer, you have a case of a unless the Jew took measures, that Jew in the inner chotzer is restricted. So he's called regel ho'asura. Karkish Rabba Reishe. Rabba, upon hearing this explanation or this sourcing of Rav's din, that Rav is based on Rabbi Meir, Rabba nodded in consent. Just to remind you, Rabba and Rav Yosef were present when Rav Sheshes said this. So Rabba nodded in consent. Omar Rav Yosef, who was also present, he objects. And this is a long objection. We have a long question marking. Rav Yosef says, Trei Gavri Ravi Karabonon, two great men like you, rabbis, Litu Bahai Milsa, should make a mistake in this matter. And here we have triangles to accentuate the names of Panoyim through whom we will be Mavarer this matter. And that's what we've noted on the side under the Tatnose. Regel hamuteres b'mekomo, ma'u sheteoser shelo b'mekomo. Our subtopic will be someone who has rights to walk in where he is located. Can it create restrictions in another area? That's very vague, but through the Gemara and the examples, that will become clearer. The mivne that we have on the side features the triangle. Biur din shel Rav. We're going to try to clarify Rav's din. Kefi eza tana omaras dvarav. Based on which tana did he say what he did? So in the meantime, we have Rav Sheshes and Rabba saying that Rav's din is based on Rebbe Meir. Rav Yosef raises his objection. We continue in the Gemara, first triangle. Ika Rebbe Meir. If Rav's din is in fact like Rebbe Meir, Loma li Yisrael b'chitzona. Why, if you want to introduce the idea of some kind of restriction, what do you need to have the additional presence of the Jew in the outer courtyard? In other words, according to Rebbe Meir, once you have a singular Jew with a goy sharing the same courtyard, that Jew is restricted. The Chitema, the Gemara, goes on to say, that the incident that took place was in fact this way, with the inner courtyard, the outer courtyard, as we explained before, and that's why it was presented as it was. But in fact, you don't need the Yisrael in the outer courtyard to create a restriction. There was a restriction anyway. But that's not true. V'habomine me'rav. The question was asked once of Rav, Panimi b'makomo mahu, what is the din of the Jew in the inner courtyard? Can he carry in and out of his house, being that he's sharing the courtyard with a Gentile? The Omar Lahen Mutter. And Rav said that it's okay for the Jew in that inner courtyard. That is certainly not like Rebbe Meir. So Rav is not basing his halacha on Rebbe Meir. V'yelomai k'rabalozer ben Yaakov. Do you want to say that Rav's din is based on Rabalozer ben Yaakov? And, well, Omar, but didn't he say, Achu shnei Yisraelim oisrim ze al ze? The presence of a Gentile does not create restriction until you have two Jews that otherwise would have imposed a restriction one on the other. And here, you don't have, in the case of the inner courtyard and the outer court, you don't have the two Jews imposing a restriction one on the other. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Rashi, Dibur HaMasel Oisrin Ze Al Ze, Vahani Lav Oisrin Ze Al Ze, Ninhu. In the scenario that Rav presented, which we called before diagram number 5, the Jews don't aser one on the other. Deho Amri Rabbonon Bishili Pirkin, the Rabbonon say at the end of the Perek, Regel HaMuteres B'Mekomo, Eino Oisera Shelo B'Mekomo, Mishum Drisos HaRegel, V'afalpi shelo irvo imo. Let's go over this. The regel hamuteres b'mekomo. If you say that we are going in the opinion of Rabbi Zeman Yankov, the singular Jew with the goy is not restricted. So he's called a regel, literally a foot that's muteris b'mkom, means he has rights to carry in and out of his home and courtyard, from his home to the courtyard and back, where he is located. He is mutar. And as a result of him being mutar, the fact that he has easement rights over the outer courtyard, that does not impose any restriction, even without their having made an eruv. So we're still trying to figure out, based on whom did Rav say his din? Elo, do you want to say Karevi Akiva? The Omar Regal Muteres B'Makoma Oiseres Shaloi B'Makoma, one who, albeit is allowed in his own location, nevertheless, the fact that he has easement rights over another location, if they don't make an Eruv together, so he causes a restriction on the outer Chotzer. Loma Li Nachri, so if Rav's din is based on Rebbe Akiva, what need do you have to introduce a Gentile in the scenario, Afilu Yisrael Nami, even if there was a Jew? In other words, if you have two chatzeros and an inner chotzer where there were two Jews and they happen to make an Eruv together, so they are mutter in their chotzer. But if they don't make an Eruv with the outer chotzer, so they create a restriction for him. The Rashi, Dibor Masel V'Elo Rav, K'Rabbi Kiva Svirulei. Do you want to say that Rav holds like Rabbi Kiva? V'Havu Lehu Shnei Yisraelim Oisrim Ze'al Ze'? Hilkoch Osar Nochri Olayhu. Do you want to say that it's like Rabbi Akiva, and it would then be a case of two Yisraelim that aser one on the other, and therefore the Goy imposes a restriction? Lomali Mishum Nochri. What do you have to introduce a Goy for in the picture? Yisrael Pinimi Luchudei Nami Osar Al Chitzon. The Jew alone in the inner Chotzer creates a restriction on the outer Chotzer because of the easement rights. The Gemara continues, and now we have an answer. Omar Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua, the Oilam Krebelozer Ben Yaakov, Ukarebi Akiva. Rav is based on accepting Rabbi Elozer Ben Yaakov and Rabbi Akiva. V'hocha b'may askinon, and the case of Rav, where the outer courtyard was restricted, kagon she'irvu, where an Eruv was made. The taimo de'iko nochri de'osir, and the reason there is a restriction is because there is a nochri here. Avoleko nochri lo osir. Had there been no Gentile in the picture, there would have been no restriction. Now that is a little bit vague. Let's take a look at Rashi, who ties all the loose ends together. The Rashi, le'olam k'rav Elozer ben Yaakov, mishum hochi pnimi b'makoymoy mutar. Rav's din is based on Rav Elozer ben Yaakov, and therefore the inner courtyard, we have only one Jew with the Gentile, so the Jew is mutar over there, because you don't have two Jews in the inner courtyard. V'chitzon aser mishum drisas regel de pnimi k'rabbi Kiva. The outer courtyard, though, is restricted. He cannot, that Yisrael in the outer courtyard, cannot carry in and out of his house because of the easement rights of the inner courtyard Jew. V'kevon de aser alei havu lehu b'chitzona shnei Yisraelim osrin ze al ze. And because of this restriction, the outer courtyard becomes like a situation of two Jews that aser, that impose restriction one on the other. Umahani nochri levatel es eruvon afilu irvu, and the presence of the Gentile makes it such that even if those two Jews made an eruv, the eruv would be voided. V'ileko nochri ki irvu shari. Had there been no nochri in the picture, then having made an eruv, they would have been unrestricted in their carrying from their houses to the chotzer. Let us continue in the Gemara. At this point, it's advised to turn to diagram 6. This you find in the Pirush Chai, at the bottom of page 137. Bomine Rabbi Elozar Meirav. Yisrael v'nochri b'chitzon of Yisrael b'fnimis mahu. Notice that we have a long question marking. In order to develop the question, we've got to go through a number of lines of Gemara. We've changed the model a little bit, the case. Here you have a Jew and Gentile in the outer courtyard and a singular Jew in the inner courtyard. What is the din here? Hasam, there are two sides, and that's why we have this marked with a 1, and then we squiggle it like the old Vilma a few lines later, presenting the second number 2, the second side of how to analyze this. So Hasam, in the case before with the Yisrael and Nochri in the inner courtyard, Hasam taimo mishum deshchiach dedayer. The setup there is a common situation. And because of this common situation of Jew living with Goy, we impose restrictions. And we've discussed this in the past, in our previous shurim, the concept of Shalol Yilmav Mimaisov. We wanted to discourage Jews living from living together with the idol worshippers so as not to come to learn their ways. So in model, or let's say diagram number 5, that setup was shachiach, was common. Now, why was it a common? Did we not say that a Jew would be fear-struck of living alone with a goy because of the fear that the goy might kill him? Well, in diagram 5, that fear is reduced quite a bit. The Mirtas Nochri, the Nochri is afraid of killing the Jew. The Sofar Hashta Osi Yisrael, the Jew in the outer courtyard, could come along, the Omerli, and ask Yisrael, the Havigabo Hecha, where's the Jew who used to be by you? In other words, I didn't see him. He would have had to come through my courtyard if he were alive and well. And being that the Goy is under scrutiny, as we just described, so he won't kill the Jew. He doesn't want to be caught. And the Jew neighbor of the Gentile in diagram 5 is well aware of this, so he feels comfortable in living like that, in the proximity of the Goy. So that's a common setup, and as a result of the common setup, so that's reason for imposing restrictions, courtyard-related restrictions, so as to forbid, discourage them from living like that. Aval hocha, in the case of the Yisrael v'Nochri in the outer courtyard, this is an unlikely situation that a Jew would want to live like that. You'll ask, well, might he not be caught in might the goy not be caught as a murderer? Well, the Gemara explains, aval hocha, in this case, the goy has an answer to anyone who might, to the Jew that might scrutinize him, the Jew from the inner courtyard, for example. The goy will say, Amin olay, I will tell him, Nofik ozalei. Oh, he walked right out the front entrance into the Rishus Rabbah. That's why he's not around. That's why you don't see him, because he walked out, and he wouldn't have walked by you. You're in the inner courtyard. So, hey, there's nothing wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. The Jew simply walked out the front door. So, in that case, in the situation as described or illustrated in illustration 6, that's already an uncommon situation of Jew living with Gentile, and therefore there's no need to impose any further restrictions to serve as a deterrent. And therefore, in such a case, maybe, there is no restriction in carrying in and out of the chotzer to the house. Oy Dilma Hachinami Mirtas, or maybe here too there is an element of deterrent upon the goy from committing the murder, and he would be afraid of being caught. And when there's fear on the part of the Gentile, so there is then no deterrent from the Jew in living like that. And what's the deterrent to the deterrent on the Gentile? This so far, the goy will figure, Hashta osi Yisrael v'chozili, as if he thinks to kill his Jewish neighbor, he's afraid that maybe the inner Jew will come at any time and catch me and see me doing it. So that's the end of our long question. So to say matters over simply, diagram 6, is there any restriction in terms of chaser related matters? Omar Lay, so the question had been posed to Rav. Rav says, Tein l'chochom v'yech kam oid. Give to the wise man and increase wisdom. This means to say that just in the previous case that we call diagram 5, there was restriction. That was Rav's din. So too, in diagram 6, there is restriction, so that the Jew cannot carry in and out of his house to the chotzer. So, in looking at diagram 6, we say Rav's answer is, just like in diagram 5, the outer courtyard was restricted, so too in diagram 6, the outer courtyard will be restricted. We continue in the Gemara. We also should note that we have a long maisa, a long marking incident, and on the side of Gemara under our no say, we have the following: Shnei Yisraelim v'Nochri shesachru mokum bepundok. There are two Jews and a Gentile that rented rooms in an inn. Goy hasocher einenu b'Shabbos. Mahu liskor mekomo mibalabayas hanochri. We're going to see a case where the goy who rented a room in this inn, he wasn't there on Shabbos, and the question is, can the balabayas, the owner of the inn, rent the nochri's domain to the Jews? In general, as we've learned a number of times already, that when there is a Gentile present in a, we'll call it a common courtyard situation, he imposes a restriction on the Jews from carrying in and out of their houses to the courtyard. The solution in general is to rent the goy's holding, to rent from him his domain in that courtyard. Now the Gemara. Reish Lakish v'tamidid Rabbi Kiva iklu l'apundok. We have a bow tie marking because we want to highlight cases that are like this, of involving visitations or the staying in an inn with a Gentile present. There's a case here, and a few lines later, another case like in a similar fashion. There is, of course, a difference, hence the need for another case. So in this case, you have Reish Lakish and the students, Reb Chanina, going to a pundak, an inn, and as we said before, there are two Jews and a Nochri that are hired or rented from a Gentile owner. V'lo have a socher, v'have a maskir. The socher was not there that Shabbos, but the owner of this inn was present. Omru, mahu lemegar mine. The question came up, can the Jews rent the domain of the goy from the owner? And it's worth adding here that there was a chashash, there was a fear that Gentile might, the Gentile who was renting a room there, might come back on Shabbos. So the question here is, can they rent from the owner of the inn the domain of the goy who was renting the room? That's the question. We have a brackets just for two lines, and the brackets are here for skipping purposes, just to ensure the continuity of the question. Within the brackets, the Gemara points out under what circumstances there would be no question. So, but we're interested in what are the circumstances based on which we're asking this question. So after the brackets, it says kitibo. The question arises: hecha de motzi mesalik lei mai. Given that, assuming that the balabayas, the owner of the inn, has the legal power to eject the tenant, the Gentile tenant or renter of the room. If he has the power to eject him, then this question arises: can I rent from such an owner that has the legal ability to eject the renter? Now, let's go over the Gemara again, but reading the brackets. Kol hecha delo motzi mesalik lei, if you're dealing with a situation that the goy, owner of the inn, cannot legally eject the goy renter before the end of his the terms of his tenancy, lo tiboyalach delo agrino, then there's no question that the Jews could not rent from the owner the domain of the goy tenant. Kitibo, the question will arise, hecha de motzi mesalik lei, where the potential exists, the legal potential for the owner to eject the goy tenant, mai. What is the din here? Keva de motzi mesalik agrino, since he has the power to eject him, so he also has the power to rent the tenant's domain to these Jews, thereby making it such as if the goy is out of the picture. Oidilma hashto mia holo salke, or as far as the reality is concerned, he has not ejected him, so the goy is still a tenant there, and therefore the rental from the owner would not be effective. Omar lohen Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, who was part of this party, he says niskor. Let's rent from the owner. In other words, we'll take matters into hand for right now. We'll rent from the owner, and my understanding is we'll rent from him and carry in and out of our rooms to the courtyard as if the goy tenant is non-existent. And we'll then, since we're dealing with a sofek derabbanan, where two sides of the question, it's not clear, and it's an issue of a rabbinic ruling, a rabbinic area of concern, we'll take matters into our own hands, and then later, when we get to the south, we'll present our question there. So, Osu Shailu Rebbe Ofis, they got to the Rabbi Sena Shebedom eventually, and the great Rebbe Ofis was there, and they asked him, they presented their question to him, Omar Lehen, Yofa Sitem Shesachartem, you did well by renting from the owner. Rabbi Chanino bar Yosef, Rabbi Chio bar Abba, and Rabbi Asi. Three names. Iklu lahu punduk, the osa nochri mori de punduk b'shabata. They went to an inn where the owner of the inn came to the inn on Shabbos. Rashi explains, the also nochri b'shabos, the me'esmoil shapir motzel ruvi durin d'Yisrael d'havu bei mishum the nochri lo osro alayu hechadolese. On Friday, they would have been able to make an effective eruv. The Jews that were renting in this inn. Because goy does not impose any restriction when the goy is not around. The Bach has a girsa that we're going to read, and he points out here hecha delese. That's what we just read in the Rashi. The irvu me'asmol v'chi motzi v'having motzi le'metavli b'chotzer. The Rashi continues after the parentheses that we've inserted, ki osa nochri Amri, when the goy shows up on Shabbos, they asked, Mal de mega mine, v'hoder nevatel reshus legabi chad. Can we, number one, rent from him? And then, once we rent from him, the others, all the Jews will renounce their holding to one Jew. Vahu mihu lishtri lehotzi, and that one Jew will be able, at least he will be able to carry in and out of his room to the common area, to the courtyard. We turn to the Gemara. Again, we have a case of the rabbis arriving at this punduk, and they and what happened is that the nochri owner, the also nochri mori de punduk bishabato, he came, he showed up on Shabbos. And when there is a goy present, so whatever eruv they may have made is voided. Omru, they ask the question, and here you'll notice there's a long question marking. Mahu lemegar mine, can one rent from the owner, rent his holding, his possession, or his holding on the inn, let's rent it from him. And as we saw in the Rashi, that's stage one, renting from him, and then the Jews, having, let's say, removed the goy from the picture through the rental, they would then mevatel their holding to one of their fellow Jews, so that it becomes, halachically speaking, as if it's a courtyard with only one owner present, one entity. And as we saw in the Rashi, that would then enable his house to be allowed, permitted for carrying items in and out of his house or his room to the common courtyard area. Now the two sides of the question are, and we have, that's why we have a little aleph here, and then O Dilma is squiggled on the next line, bays two sides of the issue. Socher kim arev domi, do we say that rental is like the making of an Eruv? Mama Arev Mibol Yom, just like making an Eruv must be done on Friday, Av Socher Mibol Yom, so too the idea of renting from him must be on Friday. In other words, no rental possibility on Shabbos itself. Oy Dilma, Socher Kimevatel Rishus Domi. Or do we say that rental is like the concept or like the legal institution of Mevatel Rishus, of renouncement of one's possession? Now, let's back up for 1 minute. When we speak about Mevatel Rishus, we should point out, in general, if you have a situation of a courtyard where there was an attempt to make an Eruv, but someone didn't contribute, or someone forgot, so there's no Eruv. Now, come Shabbos, you have a group of Jews living in their courtyard, and they're all restricted because one of them didn't contribute to the Eruv. There's an option called Mevatel Rishus, where all of the others renounce their possession of, or they're holding in the chotzer, in the courtyard, to one. So it becomes a courtyard with one ownership, and such a courtyard is not restricted. And the result would be that that house can be carried, items can be carried in and out of that house to whom they were mevatel their rishus. And as we just described, mevatel rishus is something that can take place. It does take place on Shabbos per se. Our question here is, do we parallel socher, schirus, rental, to mevatel rishus? Thusly, ma mevatel rishus afilu b'Shabbos, af socher v'afilu b'Shabbos. Just like mevatel rishus takes place on Shabbos, so too schirus takes place on Shabbos. And that would then make the rental an option for the Jews, in this case where the owner showed up on Shabbos. Response, Rabbi Chanino bar Yosef Omar Niskor. There were three rabbis in this story, so he said, let's do the rental. Rav Asi, also one of the visitors there, Omar lo Niskor, no, let's not do it. Omar lehu, Rabbi Chiyo bar Abba, he was the third of these names, he says, Nismoch al divrei zokein v'niskor. Let's rely on the words of the elder. Apparently Rabbi Chanina was the elder of them. And he said, let's rely on him and rent. Osu shailu lei l'Rabbi Yochanan. The question eventually was brought to Rabbi Yochanan, this case, this most recent case that we have in the bow tie. And Omar Lahen, Rabbi Yochanan said, and we're at the top of Samach Vav Amar Aleph, Yofe Asitem She Sochartem. You did well by renting on Shabbos, and the subsequent Bittul Rishus, renouncement of your holding to one of you. We, at this point, are basically in the middle of a sugya, but in the context of the Daf Yomi presentation that we have, there is no real convenient stopping point, because to continue in the Gemara at this point, we're basically raising two questions. You can see the house markings highlight two questions that come up on that which Rabbi Yochanan just said, and that preoccupies the Gemara for the entire Omid. So with that in mind, Amir Tashem, in our next year, we'll try to recap that which we just learned in order to be able to continue. And before concluding, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.